It is the second year of enrollment under Obamacare. What do you need to know about health insurance? This is Florida Matters.
Support for Florida Matters comes from the Hospitals of Bay Care Health System, providing more than 100 health seminars, classes, and events each month. Bay Care's mission is to build a healthier Tampa Bay. Register for a complimentary health seminar, class, or event at baycareevents.org.
From the Donna Studio at WUSF Public Media, I'm Craig Kopp, sitting in for Carson Cooper. It is the second year of enrollment for health insurance plans under the federal health care law, affectionately and not so affectionately known in some circles as Obamacare. Healthcare.gov is the website that people in Florida and 36 other states use to buy a health insurance plan. And we have passed a key deadline, the deadline to buy a plan to have coverage that starts January 1st. But there is still time to buy insurance. Open enrollment runs through February 15th, 2015. So, what should consumers be doing now if they still need to get health insurance coverage to comply with the federal health care law? We have gathered a panel of experts to talk about that, what you need to know about health insurance under the federal health care law. Here in the studio, we have Jody Ray. She's the project director for Covering Kids and Families at the University of South Florida. Welcome to Florida Matters.
Thank you.
And we have our own Mary Shedden, editor of WUSF's health reporting project, Health News Florida. Thanks for joining us, Mary.
Good to be here.
We have plenty of questions to sort through, but first, Florida Matters' Lottie Watts introduces us to a St. Petersburg man who enrolled in a health plan last year on healthcare.gov, but has learned he's going to have to pick a new plan this year.
Last year was the first year you could buy health insurance on the federal health insurance marketplace. Phil Ammon of St. Petersburg was one of nearly a million Floridians who bought a plan on healthcare.gov.
When it was first made available, I went through the week of terror with the website going down.
He says the plan he bought from Coventry One, one of the most inexpensive plans for sale on the exchange, wasn't ideal, but it took care of some necessary medical expenses.
I had a colonoscopy this year, as somebody my age doctor says. You got to have it done. So he was very glad to hear I had the insurance, and I promptly went and had the procedure done. And fortunately, everything came out perfect.
He's been a freelance writer for more than a decade, and he says he put off the test because it would have cost him $1,500 out of pocket. Like 91% of Floridians who bought a plan on healthcare.gov, he was eligible for federal tax credits that helped pay for part of his monthly premiums. And there's another piece of the Affordable Care Act that puts health insurance in reach. He can't be denied coverage based on pre-existing conditions.
That single change alone, I think, is the most important to me personally. And again, it doesn't have to be necessarily a function of age. You know, somebody who's in their 40s, 50s, or what have you. Personally, I've dealt with high blood pressure since my early 30s.
And up until last year, he says health insurance companies could either flat out deny him or ask him to pay really expensive premiums.
Now I have, I had insurance for a year, and I got a letter from my insurance company saying that they're no longer going to be carrying my policy, one of the bronze level policies, and I will have to go this year again to the healthcare.gov and get new insurance.
And he won't be the only one, says Sabrina Corlett, the project director at Georgetown University's Center on Health Insurance Reforms.
For people who are enrolled, most of them, in fact, probably all of them, are going to need to go back to the marketplace or healthcare.gov to check their information, make sure that it's up to date, and they're going to need to re-enroll in a health plan.
The companies selling plans in Ammon's home county of Pinellas are Assurant, Cigna, Florida Blue, Humana, and United Healthcare. Coventry One, the company he went with last year, is nowhere on the list.
I guess it's going to go back to square one. get on the exchange and start over again.
Under the Affordable Care Act, most Americans have to have health insurance or they'll face a penalty. In 2015, the penalty increases to 2% of your household income, or $325, whichever is greater. For Health News Florida, I'm Lottie Watts.
Jody Ray, your group covering kids and families is in every Florida county helping people to sign up to healthcare.gov. What are you hearing from the navigators who are walking people through the process of signing up for a healthcare plan? How many people out there are experiencing something similar, having to pick a new healthcare plan this year?
It's sort of a mixed bag. I mean, a lot of people did get plans they were very happy with, and they were able to retain those plans. Some people are even saying that they're getting better prices because they're updating their information for 2015. Some people are choosing to pick a new health plan. They're making choices that are healthcare-driven choices. I may need a particular doctor. I may need a particular hospital. So some of those are driving people to make different choices around their health plans.
Yeah, last year it was this website isn't working. This year, people are through that. Now they're actually using the website to find an insurance plan that may, I guess, better suit their needs.
Correct. And, you know, the neat thing about the website is that they've got this piece on the website where people can go, consumers can go in and earn some basic information, and they can peruse the plans now. So they can get a really good idea of what plans are out there and what the networks are, and they can actually do a little homework on their own for those that are pretty savvy to get some information even before they ever meet with an assister, or they can do it on their own.
Mary Shedden, what happened to this guy in St. Pete? Why do plans disappear? He had to pick a new one because his plan didn't exist anymore.
Well, a lot of the insurance companies that have put plans on healthcare.gov, they're learning the ropes too. They're tweaking exactly what they're offering. They're changing premiums in some cases, higher premiums, lower premiums. And in this case of this individual, his company chose not to offer the exact same plan in Pinellas County for the coming year. So that's one thing that's really important, and I keep hearing over and over again, is that individuals that have these plans don't assume it's going to be exactly the same for next year. It's exactly the same for a lot of us who may have employer-based or job-based plans. It's likely your insurance is going to change for next year, so you should check it out.
Jody Ray, I guess people who are not familiar with having health insurance, perhaps having health insurance for the first time, haven't been through with what those of us who have been under employee plans for a long time have experienced. It seems to change every year.
Right. We've seen, and I think it'll be a while before we've been through this a few more times where you see people become more informed about the idea of having health insurance and using health care through health insurance. So we certainly have seen a lot of folks who have never had health insurance, they've never accessed care, utilizing health care coverage. So their expectations are different than ours. Their experiences are different because they don't know what that looks like. Because we have years of doing that.
What if your insurance is charging a higher premium and now you look at that and say, well, that doesn't fit in my budget, but we have passed that December 15th deadline now. Can you still make changes?
Yeah, so the good thing is that open enrollment goes through February 15th. So folks will have an opportunity through the whole open enrollment period to update their information for the 2015 information and make decisions about the plans. Once the December 15th deadline had passed, those changes will not take effect January 1st, but they can certainly get them in by January 15th to take effect February 1st.
How many people in the state of Florida took advantage of Obamacare, got signed up last year, Mary?
Estimates are about 1 million, and actually Florida is one of the largest states to actually sign up folks on the federal exchange, and folks in programs like Jody's really were a big part of that. This coming year, the federal government set a big target of about 9.1 million individuals signing up for insurance. That's a huge number, but still about somewhere in the 15 to 20% range of Americans still don't have health insurance.
Now, the big draw here is that you can possibly qualify for tax credits, which lower the expense of health insurance. That's the whole key to getting this program going. How do you find out whether you qualify?
It's really based on how much you make. And the whole point of healthcare.gov was set up, it was set up to provide a place where folks who didn't have access to healthcare through a job, for example, or couldn't afford a plan, can go and shop and look for a plan and then get assistance based on their annual income. So, for example, if you're a family of four and you make just under $24,000 a year, anywhere between there and if your family makes about $95,000 a year, you can get some form of assistance in terms of subsidies. And that's going to help you on your monthly premiums. There's still going to be other costs. There's going to be a copay when you go to the doctor's office. There'll be deductibles to help cover, say, a cast on your kid's broken arm. Those things are still going to exist, but the subsidies and the tax credits help in terms of that monthly premium.
Jody, what's the one thing that people who have not had insurance when they get involved with this are trying to figure out what is available to them under Obamacare? What's the biggest surprise to them when they try to sign up? Is it that they've got copays? What is the thing that either shocks people most or confuses them the most?
Well, there's in terms of the surprise, I think more often than not I've seen, and I think our navigators have seen, is the surprise on folks' face when they find out once the cost sharing and the tax premium credits are applied, what they can get health coverage for. Most people that apply get some kind of financial assistance, and I think they're really surprised what they can actually get for that, with that assistance, that financial assistance. I think the thing that's most confusing, especially when you're dealing with people who haven't spent a lot of time dealing with health insurance, is trying to understand the language of what health insurance is. Things like coinsurance, copays, deductibles, how all those fit into your out-of-pocket and in terms of making a financial decision about choosing a health plan.
I have employer-provided insurance, and I'm just as confused as they are. Well, why is it so confusing? Why is it so difficult to understand?
Well, you know, they all calculate at different rates. You got coinsurance that can kick in at 20% after you pay your deductible down. I mean, you know, I think there's so many different factors, and people are trying to digest that enormous amount of information. I think that it's probably really clear to people who deal with health insurance all the time. But the other thing is that individuals who are applying for health insurance, that what they're interested in is how am I going to get health care? How am I going to get health care? How does this help me get health care? So then you have to make those connections between those out-of-pocket costs and their accessibility to actually getting health care services.
So we've passed this December 15th deadline. I had a plan last year. I didn't do anything. Am I auto-enrolled in that plan again this coming year?
In some cases, there could be changes. There could be different information. If the information from this past year is not the same as maybe what you projected, people could find their premiums changing. People could find their tax credits weren't what they projected. What we're telling people, the most important thing is to get your updated information in. We're finding that a lot of people are updating their information and finding they qualify for lower premiums than they had been paying. So it's really to their benefit to make sure that they get the information updated as soon as possible so that they can benefit from that as soon as possible.
All right. I didn't take advantage of this last year. I'm a first-time enrollee. This deadline has passed. What are my options now?
To go ahead and apply. Your options are still to go ahead and apply. February 15th is the deadline for open enrollment. Go ahead and apply. Find out what tax credits you qualify for. You may qualify for other financial assistance in addition to the tax credits. Also keeping in mind that not applying also could result in a financial penalty. And what we're saying is, why pay that financial penalty and get nothing? Or you could sign up for health insurance and get health care. Get something for your money.
And those financial penalties are going up each year as we progress into the program, right?
Correct.
You know, there's another feature of healthcare.gov that doesn't get a lot of attention. It's the Small Business Health Options Program. Thank God for acronyms. SHOP, it's called. It offers tax credits to employers for up to half the cost of premiums for plans it offers to employees. So, Mary, if you work for a small business and that business doesn't participate in this SHOP, the Small Business Health Options Program, what do you do? Go say, hey, why don't you do this?
Well, and this, again, this is why healthcare.gov exists, is it's for the people who don't have access to a plan through their job or that's affordable. And so if your employer does not offer a health plan that you can get through work, then you are eligible to go shop on the healthcare.gov. A lot of folks are finding that small employers, those with maybe 3-5 full-time employees, they still can't afford to offer their employees insurance. They'd love to, but they just can't afford it. In fact, a report back in 2012 said less than 40% of the small businesses in Florida even offer plans to their employees. It's a really tough thing to manage. So you can go on healthcare.gov. You can meet with a navigator. You can even talk to a private insurance agent if you want to. You have the option of getting insurance through healthcare.gov.
That is Mary Shedden. She's the editor of WUSF's health reporting project, Health News Florida. Also with us, Jody Ray, the project director for covering kids and families at the University of South Florida. We're talking about the second year of health insurance enrollment on healthcare.gov. Coming up after a break, we're going to take a look at the options for young adults. We have links to resources to help you understand Obamacare at WUSF.org/Florida Matters, and we would love to know about your health insurance shopping experience. You can join the conversation with us on Twitter. We're at Florida Matters, or you can visit our Facebook page. This is Florida Matters. This is Florida Matters. I'm Craig Kopp. I'm sitting in for Carson Cooper this week. Our guest, Jody Ray, Project Director of Covering Kids and Families at the University of South Florida, and Mary Shedden. She's the editor of WUSF's health reporting project, Health News Florida, and we are talking about the second year of enrollment under Obamacare. And turning now to a group that I think people refer to sometimes as the invincibles. These are young people, 26 and under, who feel like they're pretty much immortal at this point. What's health insurance? Many of them have the option under Obamacare of being covered by their parents' health insurance plan, even if their employers do offer health coverage. As Florida Matters' Megan Milanese reports, healthcare is really an afterthought for some young adults and hard to get for others.
Christian Ward lounges on a couch in the University of South Florida Student Center in Tampa. Crutches are propped against the armrest, and he stretches out his leg, which is covered in a cast up to his thigh. Like a lot of college students, his parents handle his health insurance. He'll tell you that having it definitely came in handy during his moment of need.
Well, I'm sitting on a broken leg right now, and that was pretty nice to not have to pay for expensive surgeries. I actually just got a copy of the bill this week, and yeah, that was nice.
He has health insurance because of the part of the Affordable Care Act that says insurance companies must give parents the option of having their kids on the family plan until they turn 26. Susanna Perez Field is the program coordinator for the Student Health Services Insurance Office at USF in Tampa. She says though many students can rely on their parents for coverage, plenty still need to buy their own plans.
Students have a lot of questions. There's a lot of uncertainty. And in terms of how this enrollment period would affect them, it's really more about how do I do this and what are my options and how do I get support in seeking these options.
Between paying for classes and scrounging up funds for the occasional pizza delivery, it can be hard for students to come up with the cash to buy a health plan. Jody Ray is the project director for Florida Covering Kids and Families, a healthcare advocacy group. She says many students don't make enough money to qualify for tax credits to help pay for a plan on healthcare.gov.
We still see students whose income largely depends on student loans, which is not counted as income. Unfortunately, for those students, they then don't qualify for tax credits and cost sharing.
Sharuk Muhammad is 25. She's a student at Hillsborough Community College and works at McDonald's. Her job doesn't offer her insurance, so she's on her own. She tried signing up last year, but gave up.
I don't want to say that, but it is unbeneficial. It is like, it's just a waste of time and money for them, and it's not beneficial for people, because I tried it and I thought it's going to be like too much potential, but it is not helpful at all.
She says the health plans were too expensive. During last year's enrollment period, the number of uninsured young adults dropped by 10%, more than any other age group. That's 5.7 million young people that now have coverage when they didn't before. But Perez Field, the campus insurance coordinator, says it may be difficult to overcome students' attitudes about healthcare.
A large number of students don't recognize the importance of health insurance. They think that they are invincible, and that their youth makes them invincible to pretty much anything that, you know, that they would need health insurance for.
Sabrina Corlett is the project director at Georgetown University's Center on Health Insurance Reforms. She says that the key to getting these young invincibles to enroll is to make sure they know there's a fine for not signing up.
You know, people need to understand that that penalty is going to go up if they don't get coverage in 2015, and that could motivate more young people to sign up.
Back at the Student Center at USF, Christian Ward, the guy with the broken leg, was sitting next to his friend Ethan Zelinskis. He's also covered under his parents' plan.
It's nice to have. I think I'd be able to, like, at least at the stage I am right now, be able to manage without it, but it's a nice convenience that if anything were to happen, you kind of have that net.
He'll have that net, health insurance coverage through his parents' plan, until he turns 26. After that, he'll have to do his own shopping for health coverage. For Health News Florida, I'm Megan Milanese.
As we just heard, health insurance can be a tough sell for young adults, but one of the students we just heard from was extremely happy to have insurance when he found himself with a broken leg. Jody Ray, does it take that sort of a healthcare crisis to get a young person to think, I might need some health insurance?
Well, I mean, we're getting some good responses. I think it's advantageous that we're physically here at the university. And so we're really accessible for university students. And when we are doing a series of what we call NavLab throughout the university system, specifically to target those young invincibles. And we're getting some really good responses from them. In fact, we had students scheduling appointments way before the open enrollment period. They were getting on the schedule. So we're seeing some good responses. We've got to target students, but also those young invincibles who maybe aren't students.
They are key to making sure this program runs correctly, because they are the ones that probably will end up using less health insurance at this point. And that means that premiums they pay help pay for the older people who are participating in the program. Right, Mary?
Right. I mean, and that's the big picture, is that to make this all work financially, and that's really what it comes down to, is that you need those low-cost, healthy individuals paying premiums, as well as the folks who may have chronic conditions, diabetes, a heart problem, those things that unfortunately keep creeping up as we age. And for young adults, they do think they're invincible. And it's really funny. I found many young people I know who are even in the workplace and they have the option of health insurance. They're still on their parents' plan. They're going to milk it until they're 26 with mom and dad. But they're going to be those individuals that don't have a family system that is going to allow them that. And that's where healthcare.gov again comes into play, is they can go, and often college students are about as poor as it gets, and hopefully they can qualify for some sort of assistance.
Jody Ray, what are some of the questions that a young person asks about insurance? Again, they don't necessarily need it. They're probably in good health. It's really kind of accident insurance at this point for them, or, you know, something catastrophic like an illness they don't know they have at the moment. When people come in and you say people were making appointments with navigators and trying to find out information, what are they interested in? What piques their interest in Obamacare?
Well, I think the education efforts that have been making their way around the state have had a big impact on getting the word out. So I think they're more informed this time around. But we're getting responses, questions that not only pertain to cost. Cost is a big factor. They're really particularly interested in what can I get that I can afford for health insurance, and what does this mean? You really still have to go back to basics on things like copays, deductibles. But we're also seeing those there are folks in those young groups that have specific health concerns. The other thing that's really important to communicate to them is they get a lot of free services under this health insurance. You get enrolled, and there's a whole list of things that you get access to at no extra cost, like contraceptive services. Things like that are important to young adults. So we make sure that they're getting informed, they're getting educated. They're coming back to us this year more informed and more educated the second time around.
And it is the second year. We have a website now that actually works. We're over that hump. What are the biggest challenges in terms of a second year of enrollment that you've seen as you've sat and watched your navigators help people through the process?
Well, we're doing two jobs now. We're helping people renew the coverage they got last year, and we're helping those that didn't participate last year get coverage for the first time. We're doing all of this in half the time. And with that, one of the biggest challenges that we're seeing is making sure that individuals know how to go ahead and access their existing accounts, especially those who are enrolled, those who are already had coverage, being able to get back into their accounts and understanding how to reset their logins and their passwords so they come in and we can expedite the process of helping them pick plans.
I'm going to mention a small elephant in the room. There is a Supreme Court challenge to the Affordable Care Act. That doesn't have any effect right now on people signing up. Am I correct in that?
You're absolutely correct. People who are applying today, people who are applying through the open enrollment period, are going to still get determined eligible for tax credits and their cost-sharing discounts for their health insurance that they're eligible for. And that remains true now, and it remains true all the way through the open enrollment period.
That's Jody Ray. She's the project director for Covering Kids and Families at the University of South Florida. We also have with us Mary Shedden. She's editor of WUSF's Health Reporting Project, Health News Florida. Thanks to both of you for joining us and answering some of the questions. I know you spend all your days, Jody, answering these questions, so we appreciate a little bit of your time as we talk about the second year of enrollment on healthcare.gov. Florida Matters is produced by Lottie Watts and is a production of WUSF Public Media. Our engineer is Craig George. I'm Craig Kopp, sitting in for Carson Cooper. Thanks for listening.